2540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state,
and in your own backyard.
This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
Good morning. It's 8 a.m. I'm Luke Mathers, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Local governments around Wisconsin will see a transformation when it comes to money they receive from the state. Governor Tony Evers signed bipartisan legislation in Wausau yesterday that will overhaul the state's shared revenue formula in a deal that was struck with legislative Republican leaders. The roughly $1 billion in aid will be dispersed to communities through a larger share of Wisconsin's state sales tax. There has been an extension of the deal struck to continue to keep roads open for non-tribal members in northern Wisconsin, at least for another month. Stuart J. Waddles with more.
Lac des Flambeaux reservation officials and town officials agreed in March to remove the barricades preventing non-tribal members from accessing roads. The tribe claims that are on property no longer protected by easement agreements. That deal to remove the barricades was set to expire in the middle of this month, but has been extended to the middle of July, while both parties continue negotiations. According to officials familiar with the agreement, the town is paying the Lac des Flambeaux tribe roughly $20,000 a month to keep the roads open until a permanent solution is agreed upon. Stuart J. Waddles, Civic Media News.
The economy is improving, but thousands of people are still losing their jobs in Wisconsin this year. Terry Bell reports.
Close to 26 Wisconsin companies have filed layoff notices with the state since January, throwing more than 3,000 people out of work. The Journal Sentinel reports the biggest layoffs this year so far happened at Marshfield Health, which cut 480 jobs, blaming rising labor costs, inflation, and lower reimbursements. Cardinal Stritch University in Milwaukee cut about as many jobs when it closed its doors last month. And Eau Claire's Hutchinson Technology is trimming its ranks of workers this year by 287. State law requires employers to notify the state when they downsize. Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
Wisconsin childcare workers are making another push to restore $340 million to the state budget to invest in their industry. Sarah Rosso helps run a childcare center in Madison. She says childcare counts money helped keep her center from raising rates on families in the community.
This year's going to be different if we are not funded. The reality is it costs over $19,000 a year for our care for our young ones, and raising our rates 10% this year is going to be an impossible task for some families.
The Republican-led Budget Writing Joint Finance Committee removed the money last week and replaced it with a $15 million loan program. Industry advocates say about a quarter of child care providers in Wisconsin will close without child care counts. Others would have to raise tuition to prevent from shutting down. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Luke Mathers, Civic Media News. Time is 8:03.
For Civic Media News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Here's what you need to know in Southeast Wisconsin. A second teenager has been arrested in connection with the mass shooting at Milwaukee's Juneteenth celebration, in which four teenage girls and the two suspects were injured. Mayor Cavalier Johnson indicated that the shooting stemmed from a dispute among the girls.
You don't pull out a gun and try to end somebody's life over something as simple and as meaningless as a petty disagreement.
The injured victims are expected to recover. Specific charges haven't yet been announced. The Racine Unified School District and workers' unions have agreed on proposed pay raises for district employees in the upcoming school year, which includes an 8% base wage increase. The proposals still need a vote from union members and the school board. Six dogs and several rabbits died, and a Racine County firefighter was treated for heat illness after a fire in Caledonia Monday. The fire was in a barn and was contained by Caledonia and South Shore fire crews. The cause is under investigation. For Civic Media News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
The Brewers with another comeback win. Good morning. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. After losing Monday night, the Brewers found themselves down 4-0 at home against the Arizona Diamondbacks. But then a double by the Brewers' William Contreras, followed by a home run, finally, for Jesse Winker. Jeff Levering, Bally Sports, Wisconsin.
And Winker to center. Deep. It is gone. Boy, I bet that felt good for Jesse Winker.
Well, it had that sound, didn't he?
It's Winker's first home run of the season. The Brewers scored four more in the seventh and went on to win 7-5 over the Diamondbacks. Manager Craig Counsell.
You know, Jesse's had a tough go of it so far, and everybody's rooting for that guy.
Winker had been crushing the ball in batting practice this week, one hitting the scoreboard in center field, and just as I tweeted that story out, he hit the home run.
I tweeted out today.
Oh, boy.
Keep tweeting that.
I'm going to be honest with you. I wake up every day thinking I'm going to hit a homer, but they just haven't been happening. I felt like the ball was coming off my bat hot in batting practice the past couple days, which is doesn't mean anything, but at least you feel cool about it. But yeah, it's a weird game.
Diamondbacks manager Torrey Lovello on blowing a four-run lead.
It just goes to show you, you can't take anything for granted. You got to complete plays. You got to make pitches. You got to finish at bats, tack on runs. We didn't do a lot of things right today. The seventh inning obviously is the one that everybody's thinking about, but there's more to this game that I felt like we could have done better.
So the two teams go for the series win 1-10 this afternoon at American Family Field. The Reds remain in first place in the NL Central. They won their 10th in a row with an 8-6 win over the Rockies. The NBA draft is tomorrow night. Milwaukee with just the final pick in the second round. Can the Bucks win another title with a first-time head coach in Adrian Griffin, John Horst?
The answer is to not talk about it. So I think day-to-day to put in the work to focus on getting better every day. And again, there's a ton of belief organizationally that Adrian's a guy to lead us in doing that.
That's Bucks GM John Horst. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Diamond Crude on 540 AM WAUK.
Hey, what's up now?
Brother, what's up?
This is a good recording, man.
Mother, there's too many of you crying.
All right. Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Earl. It's the first day of summer. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Man, I just want to say thanks to Sandy Williams for filling in for me on Monday. I was really, man, I didn't know whether or not I had COVID over the weekend. And I took the test, and the good thing is the test came back, normal. And you know, you get to the point where some of us still remember COVID. I mean, we act like COVID was decades ago, but some of us still remember COVID. And so when we get a summer cold or whatever it is, we need to always check and make sure that that's not what it is. Because even though it doesn't have, for the most part, the deadly consequences that it had a couple of years ago, it still does for some. So, I'm glad I didn't have COVID. I'm glad to be back here. And I just have to say this before I introduce my first guest. Calvin, you remember last Friday, I told everybody here that I was going to enter in the Men Who Cook. And I absolutely did. And I told people before I left here, I was going to be the winner. And there were 18 other chefs that were there, that were present. And moi came in number one. I cooked 18 pounds of meatloaf. Mm. 18 pounds. I didn't know what 18 pounds of ground beef looked like, but I can tell you, I don't care if I ever see any more ground beef another day in my life. But anyway, I came in number one, and it was great. It was a great event, and thanks to Reuben Hopkins and I'm going to get it right. I'll talk about it after the break. Otherwise, I have him on my tail. But anyway, I want to welcome into the studio, welcome back a real good friend and a gentleman who has, made a commitment to our community, the city of Milwaukee, and is fighting all the great battles. And he is Dr. George Hinton, CEO. Chief Executive Officer of the Social Development Commission. Good morning to you, my friend. How you doing?
Good morning, Russ. Good to talk to you again.
Man, it's always good to see you, man. I, you know, you and I have been around a few years. Mm-hmm. And so every time I see you and every time I drive past your facility, it takes me back to when we were young. Mm-hmm. And when there was SDC, OIC, CYD, all these different organizations that were around when I was a youngster that were providing support for families. You're the only one still standing, supporting families. Man, let's talk about why families need to be supported. Some may say, we don't need that anymore in 2023. I maintain we need more of that now than we did when you and I were kids.
Yeah, SDC's, this is our 60th anniversary, actually, this
year.
60 years. So we're pretty, we're excited about it, but we also look at it as, wow, we've been doing this for 60 years, and guess what? We still got work to do.
Yeah, there's no end in sight.
Yes. And I think basically what you said is we're doing that because there's people who are still trying to become part of the upward mobility that this country affords a lot of folks, but not all of our folks. And I think there's a lot that can be done by everyone to try to make sure that everyone in the United States has the opportunity to be successful. And it's not going to take away from anyone else. But I think there's a lot of misconceptions about the working class. And when I say working class, I mean everyone. Because what people think is the poor don't work, when in fact they are working their tails off. They're just not making enough income to be able to meet the basic needs that they have to live. And it's creating other problems for them when that happens.
You know, George, the American dream that clearly was available when you and I were around, at every turn, at every corner, you could work for the city with or without a high school diploma. You could work for the county with or without a high school diploma. You could work in industry with or without a high school diploma, and people came from all over the nation to our city and were able to live the American dream. Why do we not understand that those things are over for the generations that came after you and I?
I think we don't understand the impact of globalization of our economy. We moved a lot of industries into other countries where the labor was cheaper. And what happened was a lot of the people who would have been able to take advantage of those jobs were left out. And so we moved a lot of industry to China and to Mexico,
right.
And for example. And those were jobs that would have typically been available to most people who were our age back then, were working in factories, were working in the breweries, were working
me.
In. Yes. We were working in those areas because there were opportunities to do so. That's not the case anymore. And the question is, does it have to be that way? I mean, it's really because we're chasing profits and not necessarily chasing the dreams that we used to have for everyone in our country, which is to ensure that everybody's participating in the economic opportunities of our country.
Can you explain to me why people don't want that to happen? How is it beneficial for a nation to have such a broad segment of the population that doesn't realize that and that can't be upwardly mobile? How is that a positive thing long-term for the development of any nation?
Well, I think it isn't long-term a very positive thing for any nation. And we see that a lot of times in some of the third world countries where there's a lot of tension and disruption of the basic lifestyles of the folks that live there because they don't have the industries to make sure that the standard of living is is at the acceptable level for everyone. And the United States has been blessed because of its historical advantages that it had during the earlier times of being able to just generate a lot of wealth, not a lot of competition, open land,
yeah.
A lot of very, very cheap labor, especially as you think about it from the standpoint of slavery and things like that.
And infrastructure that was not destroyed during World War II.
Oh, definitely. And took advantage of that.
Right.
You know, we were able to gain a lot of wealth because we were feeding the world. We were able, as a result of World War II, we were able to create a lot of business opportunities.
The machine shop of the world.
Yes. And while that's gone away now, we still are benefiting from that opportunity. And many people in our country are. Many families are. And I would say those families need to understand that a lot of times it's historical wealth that they have, not wealth of today. It's historical wealth. And that historical wealth was built around the historical things that happened in the past.
You know, George, man, I want people to try to understand when people who work every day get up, leave home, go to bed early like everybody else, work, unfortunately, 5 days a week, but a system that's set up that won't give them 40 hours a week where they can be guaranteed benefits, that won't allow them to work long enough to even get unemployment. There's a system that, excuse me for saying this, former President Donald Trump said it's rigged. We've got a system that is rigged, unfortunately, and not allowing poor people to elevate themselves. Am I off base with that?
I think there's some opportunities to look at our systems and our processes and ask the question, are they really serving our country and everyone in our country as well as they could? And I would argue no. We have an opportunity to do that. I think there's this perception that if others do well, then that means it's going to take away from me. I don't agree with that at all. So I think that, you know, what we have to begin to understand is there are opportunities in this country to make it better for everyone. And in doing so, we will definitely be a role model for everyone in the world on how to get it done.
You know, and so we've got to go to a break. But when we come back from break, man, I want you to talk about the Social Development Commission and its role in all those things. Okay. Got to go to a break. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. My guest is a good friend, Dr. George Hinton. CEO of Social Development Commission. We'll be right back. You know that guy?
Man.
You can't see what's going on. Yeah, what's going on? Tell me what's going on. I'll tell you what's going on.
Right on. Right on.
Up cheese curds, you'll find this basic definition: wet pieces of curdled milk.
Huh?
Well, it should also include the word delicious. As we continue to celebrate June Dairy Month, do you know how much milk is needed to make 1 pound of cheese curds? 16 ounces, 64 ounces, or 160 ounces, 10 pounds of milk? The answer coming up.
It actually is a sound of freshness.
Rachel Kerr is talking about squeaky curds. She's with the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin and a bit of a cheese nerd.
Those elastic protein strands rub against the enamel of your teeth and create that characteristic sound.
The squeak turns stretchy when battered and deep fried. Some believe the idea to fry globs of cheese happened by accident. I consider it a happy accident. Okay, so did you guess it takes 10 pounds of milk to make 1 pound of curds? Now we want to know your favorite, and where do you get your squeaky or deep fried curds? Go to our Civic Media Facebook page to share your answers. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 a.m., Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Grave Digger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 a.m. WAUK.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpower.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Bright sunshine expected today with daytime highs approaching 83. Easterly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Tonight, lows dip down to about 60. Daytime highs approaching 83. Tomorrow, sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Highs level off around 84. Friday, under mainly sunny skies. 89 Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 70 degrees.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crute. 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
That's 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You text us at that same number. My guest is Dr. George Hinton. He is the CEO of the Social Development Commission. And George, so I want to, before we get into all the things that you guys do, maybe people don't understand. A lot of different people came out of the winter months, and you know, we had a pretty tough winter, and people working every day trying to pay all of their bills wound up April 15th, and I always call it, people call it tax day, you know, people who can afford to buy things and pay things, and I call it the day that many people become homeless. Because in our community and other places, their gas bills that they could not afford during the entire winter because of something that's called a moratorium that was put in place decades ago, because we energies used to be able to cut gas off on people during the winter, and people would use electrical outlets in order to heat their homes. And fires broke out and people died, and they changed that. And so people wind up April 15th, when the moratorium starts, they can have their electric and gas cut off, which then makes them basically homeless.
Yeah. Well, at least in the house with no heat, right?
Yeah.
Or air conditioning, well, or whatever.
You've got no heat and no lights.
And no.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah. So you got a shell without any opportunities. No, I'm old enough to remember the days when they would cut the energy off.
Yeah, and when they used to be separate, gas and electric, and you could get away with one.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. I think one of the things that we as a country need to come to grips with is the infrastructures in which we put the basic needs, the basic requirements to just survive. There's a level of economic level that one has to have to make sure that they meet the basic needs that they have. And about 20% of the people in our country don't have that income. So they are constantly shuffling around their income to try to make things happen. Sometimes seasonal, or just because it's the time to just make sure that they can survive.
Right.
And they never, ever get enough funding in, you know, income in to pay expenses out. That's a basic infrastructure problem.
And we're talking about working people.
These are working people.
Yeah, right.
They're working. They may get some subsidies, but not enough to make up the difference. And regardless of it, there's still a deficit. And so they're constantly trying to shuffle that out. And it's causing them to make some decisions that they would not have made if they had enough funding. For example, some of the food choices that they have are based on what they can afford, not what they should eat. Like really canned goods, which were created during the Second World War, is not the best food for people if you want to be healthy.
Right.
But that's what you can afford because it lasts longer. And so you make those kind of decisions that may not be in the best interest of your family for, you know, significantly over time, but you're trying to survive. You're trying to make it happen what you got.
So let's do this. Let's bring a caller on. CJ, good morning to you. CJ, you say what?
Good morning, Earl and Dr. Hilton. Thank you for taking my call. You and Earl spoke that you've been doing this for 60 years now. I'd like you to speak to, I don't know if you got a chance to watch Senator Tim Scott on his town hall. What a wonderful, wonderful example of that the opportunities that America offers to everyone through education and working hard. And he spoke of the destruction of the family structure. It used to be that 20% of black children were born into a single family home. Now it's flip-flopped. 70 to 80% are born into a single family home. And the father, usually they're raised separately. And a lot of times are not even involved in the children's lives. I'd like you to speak to that statistic and also the poor education that kids are graduating with. 80% can't read at their grade level. And what factor do you believe that your foundation is trying to improve that statistic, both of those statistics, fatherless home children and education, that this opportunity that is offered to every American child is not being taken advantage of? So I believe that Senator Scott talked about the indoctrination of victimhood that is being preached by the Democrat Party. And it upsets me to no end that they're being taught of being victimized when the opportunities are
so plentiful. CJ, we got you. We got you. We got to go to a break. Dr. Hinton will respond on the other side. You tune into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be ready.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup. Mondays 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram on 540 AM WAUK.
CBS News Brief. A year after the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade, Americans are weighing in a new CBS News poll. Deputy Director of Elections and Surveys, Jennifer DePinto.
Republicans, conservatives, and evangelicals all feel the overturn of Roe has been a good thing for the country.
57% of people surveyed say overturning Roe has been mostly bad for the U.S. New hope of finding those five people missing on a submersible that went to see the wreckage of the Titanic. CBS's Roxana Sabiri.
The U.S. Coast Guard confirms that a Canadian aircraft detected underwater noises in the search area. Crews then refocused their search to try to pinpoint where those noises are coming from. They have not been able to find anything so far, but their search continues.
More than 200,000 customers have no power in the South, where a scorching heat wave continues in places like Austin, Texas.
Even in the shade, even with a fan, even with water, it feels kind of like a little icky.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
For Civic Media News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Here's what you need to know in Southeast Wisconsin. At first, a 17-year-old was arrested. Now a 19-year-old is in custody for the mass shooting that took place at Milwaukee's Juneteenth celebration. Both alleged shooters were injured along with four teenage girls. A plea deal has been accepted in the case of the man charged with driving drunk and killing Racine nurse Joanna Pasco late last year. The plea led to the dismissal of three charges, with Rodriguez now facing a single felony count of homicide by intoxicated use of a vehicle. For the next 6 weeks, Milwaukee kids from 10 to 13 will take part in Camp Rise, a program put together by Employ Milwaukee, MPS, and the City of Milwaukee. Civic Media's very own Earl Ingram credits a conversation with Mayor Cavalier Johnson with starting the effort that seeks to offer mentorship and career exploration opportunities.
And men in young boys' lives is a key to making sure the young boys are successful.
For Civic Media News, I'm Stuart J.
Are you looking for a creative haven in the heart of Milwaukee? Look no further than 20 Ton Studios. At 20 Ton Studios, we're all about fostering artistic expression and community engagement. Whether you're an art enthusiast or a budding artist yourself, join us at 2000 West North Avenue at the intersection of 20th and North Avenue. Discover the power of art and embrace your creative spirit at 20 Ton Studios. Visit us at 20tonstudios.com and don't forget to join us on Saturdays for our open studio extravaganza. 20 Ton Studios. Where art comes to life.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
You are never far away from your favorite local radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app, and we invite you to get social with us by following our network's Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook pages. Want even more? CivicMedia.us.
Bussin' it to Hollywood, showing the ways, moving to Hollywood, he's helping it to Hollywood. He's on his ways, going to Hollywood, he's bussin' it to Hollywood, showing the ways, moving to Hollywood.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Dr. George Hinton, the CEO of the Social Development Commission. George, before we went to break, I had a caller named CJ who wanted to make clear that he believes that most of these problems are because of the fatherless homes in our community and the fact that children aren't being educated. You say what to that?
I would say that there's a lot of systemic reasons why people in certain communities are struggling with their educational process. And as we talked offline, there's things like a lack of early quality childhood early development for children, to make sure that they're ready for kindergarten, for example. And then the fact that we have extremely high levels of lead across our country, not just in Milwaukee, but right. across the state.
Rural areas, right, as well.
And it's affecting young people early in life, and it's affecting their ability to be able to participate at the levels that they should be able to, because we're not making the right kind of investments to ensure that their safety is taken care of early on. The other thing is, when you want to drop a lot of statistics, let's drop some statistics around the fact that when we talk about men not being available in this country, we imprison 25% of the world's population, and we're only like 9% of the world's population. There's something wrong when you have to imprison that many people in your country. And a lot of them are men, and you're taking them offline. Instead of educating them, which would be a lot cheaper than imprisoning them, we are putting them in a situation where they are now no longer online to be able to support their families. We look at, if you want to look at statistics, look at the cost of education versus the cost of imprisonment, and you will realize that is just a stupid strategy. Because we could be one of the most educated countries in the world with very low prison rates if we reversed how we strategize around taking care of the people in our country.
So the reason that I know that what you say is accurate and true is because when those jobs were in this country and people had opportunities, crime rates were low all over this nation, and the people being locked up was minuscule. It wasn't coincidental that once these great jobs left the shores, that they started building more and more prisons because of the lack of opportunities that existed. You can't dismiss that.
Well, and the jobs didn't go away. They just moved
away. Yeah, right. They moved them away. Right.
And they were moved away because of profits. You know, I called it hyper-capitalism, which means that we are depending on capitalism at a rate that really questions the values that we have as a country about how we take care of our people.
Or corporatism. That same thing.
Same thing.
Right.
I mean, the system of capitalism, which isn't necessarily bad, I'm not saying it's bad, but when you do it hyper, that means you're overusing it. And you're using it to the point where it's actually reversing the positive. And the positives, whatever capitalism could have brought is a positive in our country, is being overplayed to the point where it's actually affecting people negatively. And that's all people. And it's not just black people. Right. It's all people.
Let's go to Al from Milwaukee. Good morning to you, Al. You say what?
Happy birthday.
How you know it's my birthday, man?
Happy birthday.
But thank you. Yeah, but okay, man. Thank you. Okay.
I'm not on the subject. I just called to say happy birthday.
Oh well, thank you, man. I'm on it. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
And I want to double down on that. Happy birthday,
all right, man. It's always good to be able to have made another year. Yeah, when you look around and know the alternative, it's always great to have it. But anyway, thank you, Al. So George, let's talk about all of these things that we're talking about. And the Social Development Commission and all of the things that your organization kind of fills in the gaps. Well, your organization is not there for people to just come and get stuff for free. You fill in the gaps of all the things we're talking about.
Well, we're a dual-purposed organization. We take care, we help people succeed. I mean, individuals, we try to help individuals understand why they're having troubles being successful in this community or in their community or in this country. They put a plan together and then they work their plan, and we help them work their plan through the resources that we have to give to them and also with our partners. But it's their plan of success. So we're always helping people move forward. That's what we do. One family, one person, one family at a time. And we do it a lot. We help over thousands of people every year with that process. The other thing we're doing is we're starting to look at why. Why is it that so many people are in prison? Why is it that we see so many young people shooting each other? Why is it that we have housing that's not quality homes that are affordable for the income that people have? I mean, we have people paying as much as they would pay in the suburbs for wonderful homes in houses that have been decimated by landlords. Not by the renters, but by the landlords. And this is, again, an overuse of capitalism to take advantage of people without investing back into the properties.
Man,
these are the kinds of things that are going on that needs to be addressed.
I know people paying $1,100 to rent a flat that is not, you know, the windows. What's the word I'm looking for, man? The doors, air comes through them.
Oh, they're not weatherized.
They're not weatherized. They're paying $1,000 to rent this place, and then it's not being weatherized, so they're getting charged $800 a month for gas and electric.
I mean, think about that, Earl. There's a beautiful homes all over the place where they may be paying $100 a month for energy.
Right.
I'm just as an example. Right. But if you're poor, you might be paying $300 a month for energy. And you don't have the means to pay the $300, but the person who's in the nice house has the means and they're paying less. So the whole process is upside down for poor people because the quality of the stuff that they have to live in is costing them more than if you were rich. So it's a combination of not having enough income and also living in systems that are so inefficient and not cost effective for those individuals who are living in those systems.
So is it safe to say you look at this thing from a scientific perspective? If people look at somebody and say they're poor and they're poor because they don't want to work, they made mistakes. But you're not looking at it from the perspective that somebody's poor. You're looking at how they got that way. How do we prevent others from going down that path? And how do we?
Yeah, you got to look at the systems that are creating this, because there's interlocking systems and I tell people all the time, these systems are working perfectly. They're not necessarily to the benefit of everyone, but they're working perfectly. They have to be dismantled. They have to be re-engineered so more people can be successful in our country. And until we stop blaming each other and start doing the work of re-engineering our systems to make sure that more people can take advantage of this dream, we're going to continue this process of having too many people outside of the dream.
But those systems make money.
Those systems are built on making what I call hyper-capitalism. Not just capitalism, but too much capitalism. T-O-O.
Which means there's going to be pushback from anybody who attempts to interfere with that, because they're tied into the political system.
Well, I mean, you know, it's going to protect, you know, if you have it going on for you, you're going to protect it. But I ask on all those folks that have been benefiting from that, when's enough enough?
Right.
When do you start to say, okay, it's time for me to give back to the society as a whole, because I really have enough?
You know, when I look at, and I always say this, man, as somebody who spent the last 12 years in Milwaukee Public Schools in a volunteer capacity, when I look at mothers who are by themselves sometimes, and that, man, they're really trying, man. They're really doing the best that they can. Possibly can. They love their children. Nobody loves their children any more than anybody else, right?
Right.
I mean, if you're a mother, your child came through you. That's your seed. You love them. No father doesn't love his child. I don't care what anybody says. But along the way, people are overwhelmed. And they don't. It's not that they don't want to do what's right, man. We as a society and supposedly the greatest nation on earth, and in reality, in some instances, we are the greatest nation on earth, right?
Statistically, but from a lot of indicators,
right,
yes.
Right. But when we talk about what we do for the citizens and for the people of this nation,
Right.
That's altogether a different thing.
Well, I mean, you can't imprison 25% of the people in the world and call yourself the greatest. Right, because right. You've got something going on where you got to imprison a lot of people.
Right.
The thing is, the way we've built our systems, too, have also caused some of the things that we see in poor communities. Breaking up families are not just a process of people being poor, but how the systems are built that agitates that process even more.
So here's a system that people don't want to talk about much. It's called a tax system. So the wealthiest people don't pay any, for the most part. Set up that they don't have to pay any. But the average Joe, when April 15th rolls around, they're struggling trying to make it. If they somehow miss a beat, the system ratchets down on them. They have to pay a steep penalty for not paying the taxes on time, right? Getting them in, we will take your home. These are the average people doing the right thing, trying to pay. And yet the system, the wealthiest amongst us, walk away scot-free. Come on.
Well, you know, I know people are not going to like this, but part of the strategy of not funding IRS
I know.
Is to ensure that they don't have enough people to deal with the rich, complicated taxpayers who are historically been getting away with not having to pay taxes at the levels that most Americans do. That is one of the strategies that are used. I know people don't like to hear that, but that's all of this is about strategy. And all of this is about, you know, when you ask the question why you do things, you have to go deeper to the why. There's usually a motivation associated with that that's either benefiting somebody. And if we don't start asking the questions a little bit more carefully about who's benefiting, we will never understand what systems are laid in place that are impacting many, 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 many people in this country. And is built to make sure that they never get out that trap.
You know, George, part of it is they've got us as a nation so divided based on race that we don't see. This is not about race. The system that have the people trapped, it's not racist.
It was one of the most unique things that the United States was able to do was to create this concept of white and black. Really, it was Europe. The whole concept of white, black, and brown and all this stuff, that's a very recent development in human vocabulary.
Listen, we got to go to a break. Ken from Stoughton, we'll get you on the other side. 844-967-2789. My guest is George Hinton, Dr. George Hinton, CEO of SDC. We'll be right back.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then, you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
When it comes to achieving successful jury verdicts and settlements, one law firm stands out above the rest. Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a $6.2 million settlement for a woman permanently paralyzed as a result of medical malpractice. $4.9 million to members of a family injured due to the negligence of a truck driver and his employer. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs today, 855-954-1186.
All in to win, Gingras Thompson & Wachs, GTWLawyers.com.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. High temperatures reach up to 83 this afternoon under clear skies. East winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Lows level off around 60 tonight. Mainly clear skies. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times tomorrow. Highs level off around 83. Mainly clear skies Friday with daytime highs approaching 84. 89 Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 70 degrees.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup starting at 6 AM. Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show on 540 AM WAUK.
Join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Dr. George Hinton, CEO of the Social Development Commission. And you know, Dr. Hinton, man, time just flies, right? See how fast time flies?
Yep.
And I want to make sure that we have you on at least once a month. We're going to set a time to make sure that we keep getting that time to share it with you. So people really can understand the magnitude of people who are working hard and systems that are working hard to make and improve the lives of people. People may say, well, you guys sure get a lot of money. And people have to understand money is relative. The job that you're asked to work with. I mean, there's not a whole lot of social development commissions anymore in Milwaukee. And whatever it is you're receiving is minuscule to what the, you know, the project is.
Well, most of the money we receive goes back into economic development. I know people want to look at us as a poverty agency, but we're not. We're actually an economic development agency. We're helping businesses grow. We're pushing dollars into entrepreneurship. We're training people to be part of the economic engine. All of these things are economic development. I don't know why people want to say it's poverty. It's really economic development. We can't, poor people will not be successful unless we have an economic engine to work with. So our goal is to make sure we have a strong economy in Milwaukee County so that we can have everyone in our county have opportunities to be successful.
So you and I always tell young people this, we remember when there were businesses, thriving businesses in the city of Milwaukee, black businesses, and the dollars marinated before they got out of our community. Mm-hmm. There were grocery stores and barber shops and man, cleaners and all sorts of businesses in our neighborhoods and in our communities that were owned by people who worked for major manufacturing companies. And so, you know, our communities were vibrant. When all of that left, the economic part of our community died. I mean, this is it is no secret, right? As it would anywhere, as it did in rural America, when the paper mills and the farms were dismantled, those communities died.
Right.
That's what you're talking about, reviving that.
Oh, yeah, you got to have the economy. You have to have an economy that's generating opportunities for people to contribute to business development. But you also have to then reject some corporate businesses, because some of the businesses that replace those small businesses are big, gigantic corporate businesses that are just, you know, they come in
with sucking the life out of.
Yes. Yeah. They're not employing as many people as, and they're not generating the
the type of income that makes communities healthy, because all that money is going to a corporation that's located someplace in the United States.
Right.
It has nothing to do with the city they're in. So when I've looked at small communities that are very successful, you don't see Walmarts. You don't see dollar stores.
Right.
You don't see those types of places. You see small businesses. But when you have poor communities, you see them everywhere. You see McDonald's everywhere. You see fast food everywhere. You don't have restaurants. So we've got to rethink our communities, too, in terms of how do we build a community that really supports small business.
And then you watch as our community started feeding off of the Walmarts, them shut them down.
Mm-hmm.
And leave our communities in the lurch.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen three of them shut down, Walmarts, in the city,
and
in the
no
black community.
And there's no small businesses to take them?
No. And it has caused all sorts of havoc. And it may well say, well, we're not making the amount of money that we feel we should be making. Never mind, you're making all sorts of tremendous profits. Because I've never been to a Walmart in our community that wasn't always.
Yeah.
You know.
I just think it's a strategy we need to look at. I mean, we need to look at how we build our city's infrastructure with an idea towards small business development. Now, nobody asked me that question. That's my belief.
Right.
And I think we could do better at it.
So what I want to say is we'll start there. When you're back in the next time,
okay,
and start understanding that process, because many people will say, well, that requires money. Where is that going to come from?
Well, it's called investment, because there's always a return, and that's what we do everywhere in the country. We invest, and I would say we need to learn how to do better investments across our country. Because there is a return on investment that makes our country stronger. If we're going to use the capitalist system, use it everywhere, not just where you choose to put it.
See, and that's why you got doctor in front of your name, because you analyzed it right. I mean, you're looking at it mm-hmm. from an educated perspective. And unfortunately, far too many times, we look at it from an emotional mm-hmm. perspective. And when we look at it, nothing wrong with emotion, but it can be taken advantage of, right?
Mm-hmm.
If that's what you're bringing to the table,
yeah,
they got some folk who, you know.
Well, we got the tools. They teach it all the time. We just don't apply mm-hmm. them everywhere. And if we start applying the tools that we use to make certain parts of our country healthy, we can make all parts of our country healthy.
That's Dr. George Hinton, the CEO of SDC. He'll be joining us monthly. We'll make sure that we let you know when. Thank you very much, as always, my friend. Always good having you. Got to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to be joined by another good friend, Matthew Johnson of Milwaukee 5K. We'll be right back.
Dominate the field like never before. Get to Soccer World in Brookfield. They have a great selection of shoes, apparel, and accessories to help kick your game into high gear. Soccer World's team of soccer experts have over 38 years of experience in the retail and soccer market. From cleats to shin guards, jerseys to coaching equipment, they'll help you stay ahead of the game. Plus, look to Soccer World for all your team business needs. Soccer World, 12615 West North Avenue in Brookfield, or online at soccerworldofbrookfield.net.
Hey, son. How are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.